And grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. Throughout Lent, these five Lenten services, I'll be discussing various heresies. That's the theme this year, heresies. A heresy is a belief system that's contrary to what we call orthodox or traditional church teaching about God. Why bother doing this? Because hearing where the church has made boundaries on what we believe about God and what we don't can help us understand not only what we believe, but why we believe it, why it matters. So even though we preach a gospel of love and tolerance, we also have to recognize that there are times when compromising our understanding of God would have far-reaching negative consequences. So the heresy that I'm going to be speaking about tonight and during the next weeks is where our church has found that we can't compromise. It's simply out of the question. And I'm going to start by talking tonight about something called the Arian heresy. The Arian heresy is not about white nationalism. This is not the Arian nation heresy. This is spelled completely differently. It's named after a priest, a Christian priest by the name of Arius, back in the 3rd century after the birth of Jesus Christ. Arius argued that Jesus was divine, but not truly, not equal to God. He was divine, but he was not equal to God. He was subordinate to God the Father. And many, many people, many, many Christians at the time agreed with his arguments. So many so that the church had to come together, the greatest church leaders at the time had to come together and decide, well, what are we going to believe? What does the Bible teach? What do we think about this? They met at the 1st and 2nd Council of Nicaea, and if you're at the traditional service, once a month we read the Nicene Creed. That's where it came from. The Nicene Creed makes it really clear what we believe and what we don't believe. So Arius's main argument was the idea that Jesus being God simply didn't make sense. That's this big one. It's like saying 1 + 1 = 1. And that's just silliness. Any kindergartner could tell you that that's wrong. Arius believed that it was irrational to call Jesus God. Did God die on the cross? Well, that just doesn't seem right to say. Was God born? No. That sounds odd. Jesus could still be divine, but not according to Arius. He couldn't be equal. He had to be subordinate. He had to be second best to God the Father. In fact, created by God the Father, even though still divine. That was the heresy. That was what the church finally decided was wrong. Because we don't like to have a God we can't explain. I think that's sort of what it comes down to. A mysterious God that doesn't fit into our mathematical constructs, we don't like that. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to talk about God. Explaining Jesus to someone doesn't work out very well if you've ever tried to do this. It's a pain in the butt to have to tell an atheist why you believe in a Trinitarian God. Just tonight at confirmation, I'm like, look, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, right, the Holy Spirit equals one. Well, that doesn't make sense. You're right. It doesn't. It doesn't make mathematical sense. It doesn't make rational sense. We have to believe it by faith and by what the Bible teaches us. That's the only way it's going to make sense. But why is it so important to believe that Jesus was truly God anyway? Why is this considered a heresy at all? My dad told me one time how important it was to learn another language, not necessarily so you could become fluent in it, but because of the perspective it gave you on your life. He spoke German. He learned it in college, and he said it always amazed him that 99.9% of all the words he knew in English, there was a completely different word he had to learn in German for this word. I mean, every word was different practically. It was literally a different way of talking about, thinking about, and understanding the entire universe. Just another language. So if two people from different parts of our world struggle communicating to one another about the same thing here on earth, should we really be surprised that it's difficult to talk about God as human beings? Or should we actually expect that understanding, communicating about, and talking about God might be beyond our comprehension to some degree? That it's always going to be a little mysterious and confusing. So just because it's easier to believe that Jesus was only a human being or subordinate to God or not equal to God, even though that's easier, it doesn't make it true. And in fact, an unexplainable God might actually feel like it's more true. But the biggest problem with Arius' view is that it has major problems with the Bible. That was the big, I believe that that's the reason in the end it was deemed a heresy. Remember, Arius was a Christian, okay? He wasn't arguing against Jesus. He still believed Jesus saved us. He was just arguing that Jesus wasn't equal to God. So Arius needed to get his arguments from the Bible, and he had some, okay? He had some arguments from the Bible. But the problem was the Bible contradicted him in lots of places. In the letter to the Colossians, it says, God was pleased to have all the fullness, all of his fullness dwell in Jesus. All of it. The fullness of God was in Jesus. It's hard to say that Jesus isn't equal to God and still have all the fullness of God in him, okay? Or in the 10th chapter of John, says Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Again, he's saying, I'm equal to God the Father. In fact, in the 5th chapter of John, the Jews are said to try and kill Jesus because he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. So Jesus definitely claimed to be not only human, not only divine, but equal to God, which is exactly the opposite of what Arius was teaching and saying. Or what about tonight's reading? This is kind of the nail in the coffin against Arius, which said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's tough to argue with that. An example of modern-day Arianism would be found in the Mormon Church, actually, where they believe lots of things about Jesus. In fact, when I was growing up, I remember watching TV, and there'd always be these commercials about the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. And I was like, well, that's just like the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, and the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. And you could order their book. And it wasn't, I mean, for a long time, that's just all I knew. But I had to learn about the Mormon Church. And it's not exactly Christian, even though it sort of sounds like it. Because, like, in the Mormon Church, Jesus is the perfect example of how to live out your life. He's a perfect example of faith. They believe he's the second person of the Godhead, in fact. So far, so good. However, they believe he's subordinate to God. They don't believe that he's equal to God. That's one big difference between the churches. That's an example of the Arian heresy. We can't go that far. That's the boundary. The Bible says different. The Bible says he's equal to God. And the Nicene Creed explains what we believe. So we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. It kind of gets sort of like, we get it already. Well, they didn't get it back then. They were trying to say, this is what we believe. We don't believe this. We don't believe this heresy. We don't believe in this guy Arius and what he's teaching. If you ever feel like you're just saying the same thing over and over again, it's because you kind of are in lots of different ways in the Nicene Creed, because they're trying to make it clear, we set a boundary here. We said that God is equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus is not subordinate to God. Jesus is equal with God and the Holy Spirit. How does 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? I don't know exactly. I don't feel bad about that either, because I'm a limited human being trying to communicate about the creator of the universe after all. I stand in awe of the mystery. But because the Bible tells me these things, I believe them. That means I believe all kinds of crazy stuff. I believe I can forgive people even when they don't deserve it. I believe that I'm forgiven even though I don't deserve it. It means that I pray to an invisible deity and expect him to listen to me. And in fact, I listen to him and he guides my life. I know. It's crazy. I get it. Faith doesn't always make sense. But it's also the place where we hear the words of life and of love and of hope that also don't make sense in this world. But we need to hear it very badly. So I'm going to encourage you to stick to the words of the Bible. Reject anything that tells you differently. And trust that these words are the only hope that we have for happiness and peace and eternal life. Amen.